With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to the Steelers Preview. I'm Jeff Hartman, co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, joined with Brian Anthony Davis, our podcast producer, and other co-editor, Dave Schofield. We just spent an entire 30-plus minutes talking about Feetner and Surrett and Matt Canada. And so before we get into the defensive side, I did want to mention and ask you guys if it matters, really. It matters a little bit. James Daniels, who's been a tight ends coach for the Steelers for well over a decade, has announced that he's retiring. So it's yet another coach that the Steelers are going to have to fill that position. Big deal or not a big deal? Brian, we'll start with you.
Actually, you cut out for a second, Jeff, and I apologize. I did not hear the beginning of that part. And this, I don't want to throw out of Seattle.
That's fine. James Daniel, James Daniel, the tight end coach, has retired. And so, therefore, they are going to have to fill that position. Is that a big deal?
You know, it's not, because that's a position that, that you know, I think that's a position that you can go ahead and fill. I don't think you're going to lose too much out of that, because it's not responsible for scheme as much as getting the players ready. So I'm not too concerned about James Daniel leaving. I thought he did a pretty good job for all the years that he was here. He was here since 2004. He had some very good tight ends in that day. Well, mainly Heath Miller, but he took guys like Matt Spaeth and made them work on this team. He took guys like David Johnson and made things work. Wesley Saunders for a little bit. Those guys that were not big names made them work, and he was very good about getting guys to block and do those little things that need to be done. I mean, he had guys like Tooman and guys like Reimersma that you know, they're not huge names, but he had good success with. I think you could replicate that, though.
Okay. Dave, what are your thoughts on Daniel retiring?
I think Brian said it pretty well. He had been around. I mean, his first year with the Steelers was Ben's first year with the Steelers. So he's been here a long time. And maybe just with all the changes, it was time for him to go. But like I said, this is just one more position that if you're going to be looking for an offensive coordinator to say, hey, we have some spots open if you have the right people to help do what you want to do. And I think that'll be important moving forward. With Daniel gone, what's crazy is what all their offensive coaches, you know, that actually have a position assigned to them have been here no more than 2 years. So yeah. It's really a big changeover.
Well, let's remember this too, is that from 2019, 2020, all the Steelers did was add coaches. That's when they added Matt Canada. They brought in Ike Hilliard. They did not get rid of anyone. And now they're looking at a significant amount of turnover in their coaching staff. Let's talk about Tom Bradley. He was a former UCLA, former Penn State coach. They brought him from the college ranks up to the NFL. He's been here, I don't know how many years, like three or four, I think. He is the secondary coach. He gets fired. And so everyone's thinking, oh, Terrell Austin, who's the defensive specialist, the assistant coach for the defense, he's done a good job since he's come over from Cincinnati. He is interviewing with the Tennessee Titans and for that defensive coordinator position that's available down in Tennessee and Nashville. This is quite the conundrum for me. If I'm the Steelers, I need to keep Austin. I want to keep Austin. You need him. Because as SteelDog88 puts $2 in the tip jar, he says it's 2021 Keith Butler's last. I'm hearing year to year. That's more news that broke today, was that Keith Butler is reportedly going to be staying, but he's going to be on a year-to-year basis. So, guys, real quick, I mean, we can talk about Bradley, Austin, or Butler all on the defensive side. Brian, what are your thoughts?
This is a real tough one for me as far as Bradley goes. But I got to go back to the fact that before Terrell Austin got here, that secondary was in complete shambles, and Bradley was a part of that before Austin. It might have only been one season where you thought he was going to come in and clean things up, and it actually got worse. So I think Austin made things better coming in. So I'm wondering if that's what they're looking at when they made this decision to get rid of him, with knowing that you have one guy that is year to year in Keith Butler, knowing that Terrell Austin might be your future defensive coordinator, or he might be a guy that's somewhere else, like we just heard. So I'm not sure exactly what went on here in this situation, but I keep going back to the fact that when he was here by himself, and that doesn't include Butler, but without Austin, he was bad. So I guess that's what happened.
Dave, what are your thoughts on the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, when they brought in Austin, I almost thought that that was a little bit of a writing on the wall. We thought that maybe Bradley might have been gone sooner. Yeah. We're like, was this one of these deals where he wasn't working it? So they bring in an extra person to kind of basically do his job and phase him out. I would just be surprised if it took him that long to do that. I don't know if that's exactly what happened or not. To me, Terrell Austin is – I don't want to see him go into the defensive coordinator role, because in my opinion, he's a Keith Butler. He's the kind of coach that is a much better position coach than he is a coordinator, much like even love Randy Feitner. You know, just like some coordinators don't make good head coaches, some position coaches don't make the best coordinators. And he was not good when he was in Cincinnati. So if he goes, I understand. But to me, I think where he would thrive the best is staying as the secondaries coach in Pittsburgh. I think that's just the obvious move if he doesn't move up to something else.
Now, to me, the news here, yeah, I want to keep Austin, as I said. The news here was also Butler getting a year-to-year contract. I think that's a really smart move by the Steelers. It gives Butler the flexibility. If he wants to just hang it up, he doesn't have a contract over his head. We've heard that from Kevin Colbert as well. We'll talk about him in a second. But ultimately, I think it was a smart move. And also, if it's not playing out, as people are pointing out in the live chat, the last three playoff losses have been really, really bad defense. So even though the regular season stats have been great, in the postseason, they have not been. And that's what Dave talked about on his Stat Geek this Thursday morning. If you check it out, I mean, he really talks about how the regular season success has not mirrored itself in the postseason. So, Dave, we'll start with you. Did you like Butler coming back on a year-to-year basis, or did you think they were going to do something different?
I said before, replacing both coordinators in the same year with the same head coach, that seems like a tall task. So if I had to pick one to stay, I was picking Butler to stay. I think the year-to-year tells him, hey, we just don't renew contracts. We're only giving you a year. So this is kind of like, keep it together for a year, and then you can have another year. I don't think this is as much about Butler as it is about the Steelers, and I really like the move.
Brian, thoughts?
You know, I think Dave hit it on the head. I have no problem with them keeping Butler. You know, I really like when they made that move to keep him as the defensive coordinator, but also let Joey Porter go and let Butler work with the outside linebackers. And they got back to what they did well when you had guys like Porter there, Porter playing, when you had Debo and Lamar Woodley and Clark Higgins. That was the guy that was the genius behind that with the outside linebackers. He really helped guys like Bud Dupree get better and get, I mean, he made Bud Dupree great again when Bud wasn't under Joey Porter. So he had a lot to do with that. But as a defensive coordinator, I thought he still did well too. With everything that was going, then I really don't think with the year that they had on defense that you just take this guy and say, go away. But the year-to-year thing works for me as well. You're on notice.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the seat's probably getting a little hotter, and that's fine. Sometimes that can be a really good thing for a coach in terms of motivation. But think about this. If Austin were to go to Tennessee and Canada goes to Miami, the Steelers would have to replace six coaches. And that's if they fill all those positions, because let's not forget, Matt Canada took a quarterback's coach. There was no quarterback's coach there for as long as Randy Feitner took over as offensive coordinator.
He was the quarterback's coach slash offensive coordinator.
Right. So if they fill all those positions, and they're going to have to fill the secondary coach, but that doesn't mean they're going to replace Austin's role. So we don't know, but six potential coaches, that's a lot of turnover, as I said earlier, with this coaching staff, something we're not, I have never seen this many coaches need to be replaced in the Mike Tomlin era. If you guys can remember a time, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never seen him, Mike Tomlin, have to replace six coaches in an offseason, and one of them being a coordinator at that. So real quick, before we get on to some other stuff like divisional round picks, even though the Steelers aren't playing, we're going to pick those games for you. Kevin Colbert, this stupid rumor, goodness gracious, how this thing got legs, I have no idea. There was, and Brian, I think Bleacher Report, you sent it out on our Slack channel, there were rumors of Kevin Colbert being lured away from Pittsburgh to Detroit, the Lions. Now, I didn't know this, Dave. You said that he was with the Lions before he came to Pittsburgh. I was not aware of that. How many years was he there?
1999. He was, what, their head of scouting or something?
Yes.
I don't know. Okay. Well, that's news to me. Yeah. Anyways, it turns out to be a BS rumor. You know, it's a bunch of malarkey, not Mike. It was just a bunch of BS. And so was there any validity, or did you ever think to yourself, maybe Colbert is going to be gone, Brian?
I didn't really think so. And I thought it was a situation that if he went, that they were going to go ahead and move Omar Khan into that situation. And if he was really wanting to leave, but he has a lot invested here in Pittsburgh. I can't see him going to a place like Detroit, which, you know, chews people up. We saw choose GMs up, choose a lot of executives, coaches up like crazy. And I just really didn't see that happening at all when this guy is year to year, because he is at the point in his life and career that he's ready to hang it up and he's going to go out on his own terms. Don't see him starting over.
I agree. Dave, what are your thoughts on that rumor?
Yeah. Wasn't there also something about his son being involved, or, you know,
I think at one point I heard that. I swear it started with some radio personality in Detroit that had a source. And next thing you know, like 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh's talking about it. And this thing just starts getting legs like crazy. And it turns out it was all literally the guy that started it actually came out and said, I was wrong. Like I blew it. So,
well, he said he had a source, but
yeah,
he said it was way off. But I'm wondering if there was really something going on in the front office, and there is something with his son, but not even as the GM. And because of the name or whatever, it got misconstrued. I don't know what that was. I can't even remember what it was about the whole thing with his son, but it's very interesting because everyone's like, yeah, and they're offering him a deal. We're like, then Detroit's going to be in trouble for tampering because they can't talk to him. He's under contract through the draft. So yeah, that was interesting.
I called BS on that from the moment someone sent it in the Slack channel. I'm like, that's not true. Like, that's literally a bunch of BS. Like, that's not happening. So anyways, I just want to get your all's take on that. While we have, while we're talking about this, before we go to our picks, bold predictions, and trivia, I want to get your all's take on the Nickelodeon game. So last week, if you saw it, the Saints and Bears game was also simulcast on, was it on Nickelodeon?
Yes.
And they had like the Slime Zone, and they had SpongeBob's face in between field goal posts and whatever. I was on Twitter and I saw a clip of this. And so I quote tweeted it and said, the NFL has got to be, this is embarrassing. And you would have thought that I was calling each and every person that has a Twitter account that I was calling their mom something very, very bad. They're like, how dare you say this, blah, blah, blah. Before I give you my take, and if you listen to my Let's Ride, you know my take, but still, I want to get your all's take because you all have children. I have children on this game. I did not watch a second. I just saw the Twitter video, which showed a lot of the stuff that they were doing. Brian, we'll start with you. What was your take on the Nickelodeon game?
First and foremost, I did not watch the game. And the reason I didn't watch it is because the Chicago Bears were involved and I knew it was going to be a boring game. Seriously, I might have watched a second of it. I did what you did. I watched the highlights. I saw the Slime Zone and there was a woman commentator to go, wow, the slime. And she was like, wow. Like, it was like this great thing just because you had this graphic and they had the line of scrimmage moving. It was like green and purple, and they had the graphics they had, and they actually did slime Sean Payton at the end. They were going to slime the winning coach, and they did. I watched the video of him getting slimed. He got a bucket of slime on his head. When I told my daughter, who is 11 years old, about this, she kept on asking, who's going to get slimed? Did he get slimed yet? Is Mike Tomlin going to get slimed if they win? Who's getting slimed? When's Mike Tomlin getting slimed? I'm like, Mike Tomlin, it's not that game. Okay, but she kept the next day, who got slimed? That's all she wanted. She actually wanted to watch football because of it, and that's why the NFL wanted to bring in younger viewers. I just think to do that in the playoffs is really crazy. You know, that's that you don't need gimmicks in the playoffs. Here's the thing. When you go to a Pittsburgh Steelers game, Dave, you're the person to ask this. How many times have you walked through the turnstiles at Heinz Field and they gave you a bobblehead? How many times did they give you any kind of item?
About half the time.
Okay, Dave, you just ruined it for me. Because
you want to know the truth? Like, they give out they give out pink terrible towels in October and things like that. Yeah, they give out stuff at Heinz Field.
Okay, I thought it was like
I'm gonna give you a little scratch card.
He totally ruined the punchline of his
stuff. I know, but I have to be honest.
I thought that was Steeler Nation Unite that did that stuff, but
yeah,
I thought
Steeler Nation Unite's always doing promo stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And that's Steeler, but I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers organization.
He's handed it to me. They're handing me a free pink terrible towel.
One in the same. Anyway.
But what my point is, when you look at the Pirates schedule every year, they've got all these, I mean, almost every night, it's some kind of promotion to get people to walk through the door. You don't need gimmicks in the NFL. You shouldn't need gimmicks. I know viewership has gone down, but to go ahead and throw SpongeBob between the uprights and kind of slime a coach. Can you imagine Belichick getting slimed? Oh my gosh, he wouldn't agree to do it. I mean, that would have blown up in their face. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to me.
Dave, what's your take on the Nickelodeon game?
Okay, well, I was watching that game somewhat downstairs in my setup where I do go for Steelers games. Was trying a different TV setup, things like that. Needed to go upstairs and make dinner quick because I was getting ready for the Steelers game. I said, I want to turn on the football game. I said, you know what? The kids are here. Turn it on Nickelodeon. And they're like, what? And I said, just do it since they're there. And I wanted to get an idea what it was. And you I didn't need these gimmicks when I was a boy. Back in my day when I walked uphill to school both ways in the snow, you know, even than me. But you want to know what? I didn't need it either because you know what I did on Sunday? We had one TV and it was on football. That's not how it works now. Everyone's on their devices doing
different things. I only have one TV, Dave.
You know, but I'm just saying, between the smartphones and the tablets and the six TVs in the house and everything, it's not the same. It's just the way our society is. We all don't gather around and watch something together nearly as much as we used to. That's a big deal in my family when we do, and we try to do it when we can. That was anytime the TV was on for me growing up. So it's a different world from when we were kids because of all of this added stuff. And therefore, they're like, there are kids out there that they don't understand. And what were they doing? They were explaining how things work. I'm sitting there realizing whenever my son wants to learn stuff and I'm trying to explain to him how the game works, you know, I like that they have the yellow line on there for the first down. You know, when they first put that yellow line on there, how many people complained? Why are they bothering doing something like that? People just need to know what the sticks are. Pay attention to the game, blah, blah, blah. Now everyone's always looking at the yellow line. Okay. They did this to try to engage some younger viewers. They didn't do it for every game, and they didn't make you have to watch it. It was an extra channel adding in, no harm, no foul. And if you just want to complain about it, you can go back to shouting at clouds.
I see. Here's the thing. And if you listen, Dave, I know you listen to Let's Ride. So I know Brian didn't. If you listen to my rant, you didn't. It's okay. But if you listen to my issue wasn't with the game, it was with the fact that the NFL had to do it. Why in the world? Okay, thank you, Thaddeus. Why in the world does the NFL, because their demographic is going the wrong direction. The NBA is opposite. The NBA young people are flocking to the NBA like crazy. They love it. They love the trades. They love the big money. They love everything about it. The NFL, the demographic is not getting younger. And so I understand why the NFL did it. And I understand that I didn't have to watch it. I didn't. However, the question I have is the NFL's got to figure out why can't they attract these kids without doing a slime zone, SpongeBob's fat face between field goal posts. That's the stuff that I want to know. Why is the NFL all of a sudden? Because guess what? As a kid, I didn't step foot in a stadium to watch a Steeler game until 2003. I never saw the Steelers at Three River Stadium. I didn't see them until Tommy Maddox and the 6-10 Steelers played the San Diego Chargers at Heinz Field. A guy from my church was giving away tickets and just said, here, take them. Great seats. They were horrible that season. It led to Ben Roethlisberger.
And that's when I went to my first game the next year.
So it was like, for me, all I did was watch them on TV. I never got to go, even though we were only an hour away. You just could never get tickets because, well, they were expensive and we didn't have a lot of money growing up. Still, I just don't understand where's the disconnect, you know, from – maybe it's the fact that, you know, I grew up in an NFL where I loved watching on Monday Night Countdown the jacked up segment. I thought it was great. The big hits, you hear guys go, you just got jacked up. Well, they don't let them do that anymore because they don't want to glorify the violence of football. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe I fell in love with the fact that Joey Porter went onto a Baltimore Ravens bus and said, I'm going to fight the whole freaking team. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But to me, like, kids, I don't know how you don't like it. I mean, my kids love watching football with me, unless Dave's kids come over and they're distracting them. Yeah, but really, I mean, like the playoff game, my kids, even my daughters that are young, they don't know what the heck they're watching, but they're up and they're asking questions and I'm explaining stuff to them. I don't understand why they have to do it. That's my thing. Like, don't care that they did it. I don't have to watch it. So that's fine. The Muppets, that's a different story. I didn't like that altogether because I had to watch that. But still, the NFL's got a problem on their hands. If they have to do that, that means that kids are not watching the product in its natural state, and that's a problem. They should be concerned. That's just my
Jeff. You got to get them to turn on the channel. And if they use a gimmick to, like Brian says, if they use a gimmick to get you in the stadium, then you might fall in love with the players. You know, by giving them a bobblehead,
I'm not disagreeing with you, Dave. But the question is, why do I need a gimmick to watch the game?
That's why you watched it.
I'm saying, even for kids, like my kids don't need slime zones to watch football. They like it just because I like it. They
watched that game until I turned that on because if it wasn't the Steelers, they weren't interested. So that's just how it was.
Here's my take on this. When we were growing up, whether it be the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, you had three networks. We didn't even get Fox until 1986. You didn't even get that network until then. There were only three networks. It was ABC. What's that?
It was Channel 8.
I didn't hear you, Dave.
Yeah.
I remember. I actually worked for them. But ABC, NBC, and CBS, and that was it. And you watched those games on Sunday because there was nothing else to do. Everybody watched the Super Bowl. Now, you don't have to watch the Super Bowl because there's a Puppy Bowl. And there's Lifetime having a marathon that teaches you to hate men. They do all of that stuff. You've got all of these things to watch. And my kids don't have to watch it because there's always something they can watch. It's like Bruce Springsteen had a song in 1991, 57 channels and nothing on. Well, there's nothing on, but you don't have to watch football. The reason I became a Pirates fan is because they were on every night in Johnstown. Almost every away game, they were on because the Pirate Network was on the NBC channel. You weren't watching NBC. You weren't watching Chips because you were watching the Pirates. And guess what? I'm not watching Knight Rider. I want to watch the Pirates. The Steelers were a family thing. Everybody gathered, and there was nothing else for anybody to do. It was there. So people grew up loving it. Now my kids aren't exposed to it because they don't have to.
Bring it up, Jeff, because I want to talk about it.
Kathy brings up, gives us $2 and says, fingers crossed, fans in the stands in 2021 will help. Is that what you're going to talk about,
Dave? I don't know if she means help within the Pittsburgh Steelers and everything, which I agree with that. But if you're talking about the question we're talking about is getting younger viewers and everything else, absolutely that will help. And also, you have to remember, the majority, not all, because we still have it on our website where Kevin Smith talks about his season, there was not really any high school sport, high school football and youth league football and things like that this year that helped to engage, you know, young kids with the game to then they'll want to even watch it on TV. So that if you're ever going to do something like this, this might be the year to do it because, you know, as a kid, I remember, you know, every Friday night I was at the local high school, watching the game, waiting for them to score, for them to throw little plastic footballs into the stands. Or even better, you go underneath the stands and the people that can't catch them, they fall through and then you can gather them up a bunch of them. So that and the cheerleaders couldn't throw them very well, so you knew they were going to end up down there anyway. So I digress. At least you didn't learn how to hate men, right, Brian, on Lifetime. So that is a problem, but overall with the game. So I understand that they did it. I didn't see that there was any harm in it.
Well, no, there's no harm in it. I said that. I will say this. If the NFL wants to get kids, local kids involved, you know what you do? If a game isn't going to sell out, you get extra tickets, you take them to the Boys and Girls Club, and you say you want to go to a game for free. You want to go to a game for free, get butts and seats, because those kids can never afford to go to a game. Mm-hmm. Tickets are ridiculously expensive. I couldn't take my kids to an NFL game. I have 5 kids. You know how much money that would cost me? Hell, the Pirates suck, and I can't take them to a Pirates game. It's so expensive. I mean, come on. Like this is also something you got to think about, too. Like the NFL, you see these stadiums like Jacksonville. They never fill out. Oh, my gosh, give the tickets away. Give them away. Give them to the kids and get them to the game, and they'll fall in love with the game once they're there because seeing it in live – action. It's just like hockey. Everyone says, I hate hockey. Go to a game live. Go to an NHL game live. You'll fall in love with the sport because it's totally different. Okay. I digress. Division round picks. You all ready? We're going to go through this quick. Here we go. Los Angeles. I hate these times. They're stupid times. 4:35. Los Angeles Rams. This is Saturday. Go to the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are giving 6.5 over under 45.5. Brian, who you taking?
I think the Packers are going to have 45 on their own. I don't care how good the Rams defense is. Aaron Rodgers is in that zone. This is a free pass for them. The Rams offense is not the same. Jared Goff, his thumb is still hurting. He did not even look good when he came into that game for Wolford. So what I'm saying is go ahead. You give away 6? That's it? My gosh. I mean, give away 16. Packers are going to roll.
Dave?
I don't think the Packers are going to roll. I think they'll win, and I think they'll cover, but I'm calling an under because, you know, the strength of the Rams is their defense, and therefore I just think it'll be a lower-scoring game. Did you even expect the Rams to get here this week? A lot of people did not. I mean, our picks were straight Seattle last week, so I wouldn't count the Rams out, but – you know, the Packers did get to – the question is, are they going to rest up and come out strong, or are they going to pull a Pittsburgh Steelers and start slow and next thing you know, can't catch up?
I've got the Packers struggling a little bit. They're going to win. They're going to cover, but I have the under of 45.5. Next game at 8:15, the Baltimore Ravens are getting 3 on the road against the Buffalo Bills with an over-under set at 50 even. Brian, who do you like?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and take the under in this game, and you can give Baltimore 3 points. You don't have to. They're going to win this game straight up.
Money line. I like it. Okay, what about you, Dave?
I'm taking the over in this one because if the Browns are going to score in the 40s against the Ravens on like in that Monday night game, this could very well be another shootout that this could be that because I do feel that the Bills offense is legit. So I'm going to go a little bit with my heart on this one, and I'll take Buffalo and then the over.
Wow, so Buffalo giving 3. I'm going to take the Ravens getting 3 on the road. If they lose, I think it's going to be really close. But I think Lamar Jackson, he finally got off the schneid, got that first playoff win. I think that he'll be fine. And I'm taking the over in this game. I'm taking the over hard, over 50.
I might go back to the under because I forgot that there's a possibility of a snowstorm going over it. Game never played in snow, so
okay,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and then Sunday at not 3:05, folks. Cleveland Browns go to Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round are giving 10, and the over under is set at 57. Brian, who you got?
You know, first of all, if it was me setting the game, it would be at 3:07. Those are the times that I like. You know, this is a weird game for me because I really think that the Chiefs are going to win this game by maybe about 10, but I don't see it being a blowout. I just see them beating them. I think the Chiefs. Mahomes is a couple weeks off. I just think they are primed and ready for the playoffs to defend that title. I don't think rust is going to set in. I think the Browns, hey, they beat Pittsburgh straight up. There were no excuses. You can't blame the refs. You blame the Steelers for that loss. I still think the Browns are not that strong of a team. They caught the Pittsburgh Steelers at the right time and capitalized on all of the mistakes. Kansas City's not making those mistakes.
Dave?
Yeah, personally, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are ripe for the picking right now. I mean, I don't feel that they have looked that – everyone talks how they were such a big juggernaut. I'm sorry, but yeah, they lost in week 17 when they rested Mahomes and stuff. But like, they still only put up 17 on the Atlanta Falcons the week before. So you're talking about when Pittsburgh was winning ugly during their win streak, the narrative was, oh, they're just not really all that good. But then Kansas City gets to where they're winning not definitively. I mean, yeah, like they beat the Dolphins by 6, but look at what the Bills did against the Dolphins when the Dolphins needed to win to make the playoffs. You know, they beat the Saints by 3, but the Saints weren't playing all that great at the time. And I mean, they're just getting by Denver. They barely got by the Bucks. I mean, they barely got by the Raiders. This is all since their bye week. The biggest win they have had since the bye week was 6 points and against a bunch of teams that did not make the postseason. So I think the Chiefs are ripe for the picking. That is why I was so disappointed in the Pittsburgh Steelers, the fact that they did not win this game against the Browns, because I wanted to see Baltimore go in there, and I think Baltimore would have handed it to them if that was the matchup this weekend, because when teams rest their starting quarterback in week 17 and have the first round bye in the last 16 seasons, they have losing records. They have losing records. So I think that the Chiefs are vulnerable, but playing against the Browns, that I don't think that's going to be a good one for them. So therefore I'm going to pick the Browns to cover, but I think the Browns are probably going to win or be ahead a lot of the game, but then the Chiefs are just going to come back and get it at the end.
Sorry if I cut you off there, Dave. Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. It was me. It wasn't you. I'm going to take the Chiefs. Okay. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win, and cover. I think it's going to be close early, but I think the Chiefs are just going to steamroll them over. I'm taking the over 57, and again, over hard on this one. In the last game, 640, not 642, Brian. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, third time's a charm against the New Orleans Saints. The Saints won both meetings in the regular season. Tampa Bay's getting 3, and the over-under's at 52. Brian, who you got?
I actually have the Buccaneers winning this game on the road. I think they're ready.
All right. Dave?
I'm going Saints because we saw what happened. You could say that it wasn't, you know, I mean, that game last week, it wasn't ever really close. But this, you're finally getting Breeze, Kamara, Thomas all together. You didn't have it all season. You're getting it now for the postseason. I'm taking the Saints, and let's go over on that one too.
I am going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, believe it or not, getting 3 on the road. They might not win straight up, but I like them getting points, and I'm going to take the under of 52. For some reason, my gut tells me not going to be a high-scoring game as many might think. That's who I've got. So for me, I've got Tampa Bay, Green Bay in the NFC Championship game versus the Ravens and the Chiefs. That'd be pretty interesting if that were to pan out. Brian, you had who in the championship games?
I've got the same thing. I've got Tampa and Green Bay, and I have the Ravens taking on the Chiefs.
All right, Dave, what about you?
And then mine is Green Bay and New Orleans and the Bills taking on the Chiefs.
All right, very good. Last thing, trivia time. Go ahead, Dave, take it away.
Okay, we are talking. What was this show all about? What did we talk about for the longest time other than Nickelodeon?
Randyland.
About Randyland.
Coaches.
We're going to talk about offensive coordinators of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are known for having only 3 head coaches in the last, how many years is it now? I should be the, you know, being the math guy, I should know that,
69.
Right.
69.
I mean, it's 50 years, you know, more than 50 years, because longer than I've been alive. So, but coordinators aren't the same. Do you guys know the first year the Pittsburgh Steelers officially had an offensive coordinator?
I will go ahead and say, let's say, I'm just going to throw out a guess here. 75, was it Tom Moore?
I don't know. I'll go with what he said.
The first year the Pittsburgh Steelers officially had on staff an offensive coordinator was 1983. It is Tom Moore, but it was 1983.
Wow.
Who called the plays? It was Chuck Knoll.
A TV did too. Terry Bradshaw called plays too.
Yeah. So, I mean, but really, you know, he basically calls his own plays, but it was Chuck Knoll that was setting everything up. So yeah, it hasn't been nearly as long as head coaches. How many offensive coordinators have they had in that time from 1983? You could probably even start, you could probably count backwards if you think you can name them. But you don't have to name them. I'm just asking for a number.
Brian's writing them down.
Well, you know what? I can go backwards for pretty much a long time with this team. If we go Randy, then we go Haley, Arians, Wisenhunt.
Malarkey.
Gosh, I'm getting lost in the – Malarkey came around.
Wasn't Chan Gailey there for a little bit?
Gailey, Ray Sherman. Kevin Gilbride was around 97. Ron Earhart was in the mid 90s. He was on that Super Bowl team, Earhart. Before that, I guess Tom Moore. And I think that's it. Am I missing somebody?
I'm going to say we missed 12.
And if Brian sticks with his 10, you guys would split the difference. It is 11. One, it was Joe Walton in 1990 and 1991.
Joe Walton, yeah.
All the rest of them, fantastic job. I'm going to ask you one last question about it to let it go. Who had the best winning percentage out of all of them?
Todd Haley.
I'd have to say Ron Ehrhardt.
That would be one. Ken Whisenhunt.
The Wiz.
Yeah, that makes sense.
70.8 was 34-14 from 2004 to 2006, and he was 5-1 in the playoffs.
He always had that trick play ready. He always knew when to run the gadget. All right, gentlemen, final thoughts here. Let's call it a show. Brian, go ahead.
Wow, it has been a fantastic show just talking about the coaches. I mean, it kind of feels like a pall is gone. You know, a cloud has been lifted with Randy gone. I mean, like I said, doesn't take away from Randy the man. We're just talking about Randy the land and Randy the coach, and did not like what he was doing with this offense. Didn't like the hire when it happened way back in 2018. So with that being said, I'm hoping that this is a transition that the Steelers do well. We've seen them do pretty well with personnel and bringing guys in. I just hope they do it right, and I'm looking forward to a lot of action. And I got to tell you, watching the Slack channel today with Dave, Michael Beck, and Jeff Hartman going crazy when they're like, not another one, because they're like, okay, I've got to write this. Who's writing this? And it was great because these guys are like, my gosh, I've got other things to do. So, I mean, there's so much action, and it's just a testament to what we do. If I could pat all of us on the back, what we do at BTSC, we make sure you get it first. And these guys got on right away on the podcast network. We had it all on there on the editorial side. It's great to see. Just because the Steelers aren't playing doesn't mean that we're not playing.
True. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, my favorite line of the day that I said, Jeff, you've got to say that on the show, was the Randy Land has gone the way of the logjammer. That was my favorite one. But all I have to say is this. We were supposed to be previewing a divisional round matchup tonight. A week ago, That's what we thought we would be doing tonight. That's what we hoped we'd be doing tonight. And we were not. And then when we did the post-game show, the most disheartening thing about it is you didn't have that hope for the 2021 season. There are so many free agents. There's so many bad contracts. You don't know what kind of the players they're doing. The coaches continue to do the same old thing year after year and hope that it works and things like that. And honestly, I didn't have a lot of hope for the Steelers in 2021. To me, this changes everything. This shows me now, could they get in guys that are worse? Absolutely, they could. I mean, I don't know. It would be kind of hard, in my opinion, to find someone worse. But it's the whole notion that the mindset is we are not settling anymore. We are not – the standard is the standard. I thought the standard was going to be mediocrity. You know, we don't want that to be the standard. That they are actually doing what they have to do to change things up, to move forward. And I am hopeful and excited about everything to come in this 2021 offseason leading into next fall. That will be a whole new Steelers team, and we'll see kind of what they're doing.
If you want my take on the offseason coming up, that's the headline of my podcast for tomorrow, Let's Ride. I'm going to plug that and have you check that out. All I'm going to say is, sorry, folks. Park's closed. Brandyland is officially shut down. It's done. Dunzo. Celebrate. Dave, why don't you send us out?
Wait, real quick. Moose should have Cody outside.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. Go ahead, Dave, one more time.
Hey.
There we go.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.